against Israel. He sent and invited Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Instead, he blessed you. So I delivered you out of his hand.
You crossed the Jordan, came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you. And the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Girgashite, the Hivite, the Jebusite. Thus I gave them into your hand. Then I sent the hornet before you, and it drove out the two kings of the Amorites from before you, but not by your sword or your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you have lived in them. You are eating of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorite, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The people then answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us through all the way in which we went, and among all the peoples through whose midst we passed. The Lord drove out from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our guide. Then Joshua said to the people, you will not be able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done good to you. The people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen for yourself the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away the foreign gods which are in your midst, and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. The people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God, and we will obey his voice. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be for a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. Thus it shall be for a witness against you, so that you do not deny your God. Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to his inheritance. It came about after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, and on the north side of Mount Gaash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, and had known all the deeds of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now they buried the bones of Joseph, which the sons of Israel had brought up from Egypt, at Shechem, in the piece of ground which Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money. and they became the inheritance of Joseph's sons. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him at Gibeah of Phinehas, his son, which was given him in the hill country of Ephraim. Interesting lesson from Joshua 24, chapter verse 15, where Joshua says, "Choose this day whom you will serve, but for me and my house we will serve the Lord." In this passage of Scripture are the main ingredients of security and peace for us today. First of all is our trust in the Lord. Be determined to keep His word. Serve the Lord as best we can. And to always try to do that which is right. If we do these things, we have nothing to fear. The Lord has made it very clear in times of peril, and even though we are surrounded by evil and temptation and sin, insecurity, anxiety, if we only keep that trust in God and obey His will, then we don't have any room to worry, no reason to fear anything. Here we are now, we're planning on studying the book of Judges. We will find out just how well the Israelites kept their word. We're going to find in the book of Judges the telling of the Israelites and how they kept rejecting the Lord and worshiping those idols. It's absolutely amazing to me that the people who came out, and this is not the only time in Joshua here that Joshua has told the people to get rid of the idols that they carried. Moses kept telling them that back in the book of Exodus. Get rid of the gods that are among you. It was just an echo down through the Bible and the Old Testament here. Get rid of those idols. Get rid of those idols. And yet, in spite of all the miracles that God had done for them, all the gifts He had given them, there were still people that were worshiping idols that had been brought from the old land. So the book of Judges, we're going to find one generation here that has worshiped the Lord, and after that, they've gone back to rejecting the Lord and worshiping idols, doing all sorts of bad stuff. And, of course, every time they did that, God punished them by allowing other nations to defeat them, attack them, and defeat them. This will, again, just like in the wilderness, this will turn them back to the Lord. They ask for His help. When that happened, well, God would send them a special leader that we know as a judge, and He would lead them in the defeat of their enemies. Then, as long as that judge lived, peace would reign in the land. After that judge died, then, well, there they go again. I'm going to repeat just exactly what they did before. And we'll find this happening over and over and over again. And each time, a judge is brought up by the Lord. Some judges, and I think there were a few, that led the entire nation of Israel. But mostly it was one or two tribes that would get involved in a squabble, and that judge would lead them. The one I'm thinking about offhand is Jephthah. We'll learn about him down the road. He was the one that promised the first thing that came out of his house he would donate to the Lord, and that was his daughter. So we find that he's kind of a foolish man. He led a couple of different tribes in a battle defeated them, and the people who the tribe of Ephraim wasn't involved in it at all, but they got mad because they weren't invited, and so they attacked Jephthah and his people, and they were defeated, the Ephraimites. And if you remember the story, kind of they had actually a different language. It was kind of like, I remember somebody saying, let's get Lenny and put him with somebody from Oklahoma and see what kind of difference in language they had. It's kind of like what they did between the tribes of Israel. They spoke almost a different language in some respect. If you remember, the Jephthah and his tribe put guards out on the Jordan River, and they were testing everybody. We want you to say Shibboleth. Well, the people from Ephraim couldn't say that, and they would say Sibboleth. And when they did that, they were actually destroyed. They were killed. So kind of an interesting story. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Right at this point in history, the children of Israel were kind of a loose confederation of tribes, kind of like the beginning of our country, the 13 colonies. They didn't have a united front. Banded together, but only in times of real peril did the children of Israel gather together as a unified unit. They didn't have kings like other nations. I don't think at that particular time they really were thinking about it too much, although they did try to appoint a king, which we'll learn about a little bit later. The last verse in Judges, chapter 21 and verse 25, tells us that there was no king in Israel at that time. Everyone did what they thought was right. But then the children had to learn that they were to worship only the Lord, and when they didn't, God punished them. So he was still God of Israel, even though they were rejecting him this time and time again. Some things that can happen to us these days if we don't obey God's word. We don't stand against the devil by saying no to evil things. We can't expect God very much to drive the evil out of our lives or support us. At this point, what I need to do, I'm going to stop here, but I'd like to hear some comments from other people if you've got some. Any questions or comments? Don't forget to turn your microphone on. Anybody know who wrote the book of Judges? Anybody have ideas about who wrote the book of Judges?
But probably was not written by any of these particular judges. Most people would say that this was a book that was written quite a bit later to record these stories. Probably so that the people of Israel would remember them. We've seen that they're a little bit fickle when they don't have any memory of what's going on. So it's pretty easy to understand why the book was written. To my knowledge, we really don't know who wrote it.
Yes, that is true. Most scholars think it was probably Samuel, There are a couple of references in the book that allude to a later time, such as the one, you know, there was no king in Israel at that time. Everybody did what they thought was right. So it kind of gives us a hint that it's somewhat a little bit later down the road, and I think I'd probably have to go with Samuel as well, but that's just a guess. So, anybody figure out where Ruth came into this?
In verse 1 of Ruth, it says that she was during the time of Judges.
Yes, but we're at in Judges.
She had, as a prophet, as a judge.
I'll be right back. Don't anybody go anywhere. Take a quick break here for myself and talk about where do you think that Ruth fits into the book of Judges?
To the fourth chapter of Ruth, and after Ruth was redeemed by Boaz, she had of course been married before to Elimelech, but Elimelech had died, and the Levirate system then specified that the oldest brother in Elimelech's family was responsible for Elimelech's widow, which was Ruth. It was called the Levirate system. So Ruth winds up marrying Boaz, and then if you look in the fourth chapter, you see the genealogies after Ruth and Boaz. They had a son named Obed, and then Obed had a son named Jesse, and Jesse had a son who was named David. So if you kind of work this backwards a little bit, and you figure that a generation is about 20 years, of course that may have been off in the Old Testament because men like Joshua lived for 110 years. You know, it was not too far removed from David. Maybe 60 years, 80 years, something like that. And that would have put it about 40 years before Saul becomes king, because Saul reigns for 40 years as the first king, or at least that's my assumption. So this is sometime before Saul becomes king, and Ruth is in the line of David after she is redeemed by Boaz. Anybody else find anything other than that?
Well, I sort of worked at it from the fact that Rahab's son was Boaz. And if Rahab was about 20 in her 20s and Boaz was in his 40s or 50s, that would put it about 80 years after they came into the land of Canaan, which is somewhere around 1284. And I thought one person's thing was really interesting. In the book of Ruth, it says that Naomi's sons both died. Well, they made the assumption that since they both married Moabites, that they both died in the war that Moab had against Israel. And that's far-fetched to think that, but it was just sort of interesting how somebody did that.
situation that people felt like the book of Ruth may have been written as by someone as late as Ezra. And some of that comes from the book of Ruth and how intermarriage played into Ezra and Nehemiah's work bringing the children of Israel around so that they would reject the idea of foreign wives. So that Ruth doesn't say who wrote the book of Ruth. We don't know anything about that, but that was suggested. But I like Carol's suggestion as well.
The book of Ruth, you remember that Ruth married Boaz, who was Boaz's mother?
Rahab.
Rahab. What do we know about her?
She was a prostitute.
Well, okay, we know that about her. When was that and where was it?
The fall of Jerusalem, the first city that they took. Jericho.
Okay, so we know that she was there at the beginning of the invasion by the Israelites into the land of Canaan. And they crossed the river, the first city that they defeated and destroyed was the city of Jericho. She was there. Now, we don't know how old she was or anything like that, but we do know that she was with the children of Israel all during that time, which encompassed a number of years. And so she had to be there, I think, probably before the judges actually came about. I think she lived during the time that they enjoyed peace as long as Caleb lived, as long as the patriarchs or the older people that knew about God lived. When that generation passed away, then we are finding the time for judges to pop up. But I think that's probably where she was, is prior to the judges. But if not, it's got to be the first judge. Anybody know who the first judge was?
Othniel.
Othniel, that's right. Okay, so we've kind of touched on some history of the Jewish nation, the children of Israel, their ups and their downs. So we're going to start getting into the book of Judges for next week. So if I could ask you to read Judges 1 and 2 for next Sunday evening and be ready with some questions or comments or whatever like that, that'd be great. That sound good?
Yes.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Right. Well, I hope we've kind of got an introduction now, and we've kind of finished up with Joshua, which we missed out before the when the COVID came around. So we've got that now. We've got the Israelites that have launched into the country, and we're going to find the end of the first generation and go from there. So I think it'll be a fun study, and would appreciate your participation as much as you can. Don't feel free to make comments or ask some questions, whatever like that, and we'll go from there.
Thank you, Melissa.
That just makes it my own. Thanks to everybody for sticking around. Appreciate it.
I look forward to your study, Ron. With your knowledge that you have, I really look forward to being able to study Judges with you.
Yeah, it's actually a fun study, and of course, you know, I think the thing that is intriguing to me is the fact that most, if not all, of these judges weren't particularly upright people. I mean, they did good. They did good things, but they had their share of failings as well. They were just human beings like you and I. And, well, maybe not. I don't think we were that bad as maybe Samson, but they made mistakes, and like we do. We'll find out some interesting stories as we go along. So I really appreciate you guys hanging in there with me tonight, and we'll go from there. I think I love the Old Testament. I think it's really great. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much. God bless everyone.
See you tomorrow at 3:30.
Lord willing, we'll see you next week. Thursday. Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, 7:30.
Hey, Ron, are you going to pick the newcomers up at the airport at 3:30?
Oh, yes, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, 3:30, Ron.
We'll be there.
Okay.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a problem.
You do?
Yeah.
What kind of problem?
No, we got a thumb.
Oh, a thumb. Okay, well, you know where I live.
Yeah, you got my car.
Yeah, that's right. All right, we'll pick you up at 3:30 tomorrow. Just let us know if you're on time or early or whatever, and we'll be there.
Okay, thank you, Ron.
All right, look forward to seeing you. I'm glad you had a good time, and I wish your kids well, okay?
Thanks, Ron.
See everybody. Take care. God bless.